Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Miketz. Sometimes Parshas Miketz gets lost in the crowd. It's always around Hanukkah time, and people sometimes forget to focus on Parshas Miketz. And so, with honor and privilege, having already spoken about some of the nice themes for Parshas for the Chag of Hanukkah, I thought maybe today we would focus on the Parsha a little bit. Of course, the Parsha opens up with Paro Cholein Bnei Omed Al Hayor. Behold, Baharo, at the beginning of our Parsha, finds himself standing on the Nile. And the Medrash quotes Rabbi Yochanan, who points out that there's a strong contrast between two people who dream in the book of Bereishis. When we look at Paro, Paro is Hinei Omed Al Hayor. Paro is standing on top of the Nile. The Nile is his God. And of course, we can contrast that with Yaakov Avinu, who, when he goes to sleep in dreams, we're told, "Vinei Hashem Nitzav Olav," that God is standing on top of him. How does one understand the contrast? What's the message and the lesson to be learned? So the late great Gaon Rav Simcha Wasserman, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the son of Rav Elchanan Hashem Yinkom Damo, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, Rav Simcha Wasserman explained that Rishayim seek to make their gods comply with their intentions. Am Yisrael is different. We insist on complying with what Hashem expects of us. That's why Hashem is Nitzav Aleinu. God stands on top of us. But when it comes to the Umos Olam, it's their gods that are really just a reflection of their own desires and their own intentions. They tend to worship themselves. I remember lovingly the very famous comment from Rabbi Dr. J.J. Schachter, who often pointed out to us that the difference between Judaism and lessons and nations of the world is that Judaism ain't just about an ism for a woman named Judy. We have a higher aspiration. We live to a higher standard. Fine. So, of course, Paro goes ahead, and he finds out that there's a guy in prison named Yosef, and he invites him to come and initiate, or to try to go ahead and audition for the part of the individual to interpret Paro's dream. As he declares in Perek Bemalach Pasuk Tezvav, "Vani shamati alecha lemor tishma chalom liftor osam." I heard that you can interpret dreams. Now, why didn't he just let Yosef know how he heard? Why doesn't he bother to tell the Sar HaMashkim? It was the Sar HaMashkim, his old cellmate, who told him exactly what to expect. So Chasim Sofer notes that it was because of the fact that Paro doesn't mention the Sar HaMashkim that we say this is the antithesis of Kol Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. When you say something over in the name of the person who states it, maybe Geula Liolam, that person brings Geula. The fact that Paro does not do so, says the Chasim Sofer, means that he brought Galus, the concept of exile, into the world. Now the question has to be raised, since when is a non-Jew obligated to state things b'shem Omro, to state things in the name of those who profess them? So Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked that question, and Reb Chaim Shlita answered that even a non-Jew has an obligation to engage in chesed. And we learn this from Esav, whose actions on the day his father died are identified by Tosis and Bava Basra and Daf Taz Zion Ahmed Beis as being anti-chesed. The idea that a non-Jew must engage in chesed, he's instructed to engage in chesed, is something that should have brought the opportunity for Geula out in, by Paro by declaring things in the name of Sar HaMashkim. He chose not to do so, and as a result, he winds up losing within the process. Okay, the Torah tells us that what happened next, Yosef offers an interpretation and an eitzah and a good idea, and Paro is so taken by Yosef's humility that he turns around and raises him up. And he goes ahead and he dresses him. And the Torah tells us, "Velavasho so big deshesh," he dresses him in linen robes. It's pretty clear that the Torah notes the change of Yosef's garb, not to highlight the miracle about him, as much as they were about recognizing who his source was. In this case, this was all about Kavod Shamayim, or Kavod of Hashem. Rav Amital Zatzal, the late great Rosh Yeshiva of Har Etzion, he explains that Judaism recognizes the importance of physical and material trappings. Not only do they provide the glory and the grandeur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they remind a person that he's created in Tzelem Elokim. And as a result of having these wonderful clothing, you have to behave in an appropriate manner. materialism. Says Rav Amital is one of the most easily misused benefits that we have in the world. It can be overused, and often it is. It can be misused, and often it is. Now, while assuring that we behave in a respectful and dignified way, we also have to remember why we need to maintain that dignity and majesty. It's not about us, says Rav Amital. This is the lesson that Yosef gives us when he says to his brothers, Es ha'alokim ani yarei, I fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, all the things you're looking at, it's not temporary. It's all about Kavod Shamayim. So then Yaakov tells his children, who are in the midst of watching the end of the 7 years of plenty and the beginning of the famine, Yaakov tells his children, Loma Tisra'u, why should you guys be afraid? And the Yalkut Shimoni comments that Yaakov told his children not to be conspicuous when they went to Mitzrayim, for being flashy leads to be an Ayin Hara, as we learn from the first Luchos that were delivered in a tremendous flash. And we see about Yerushalayim, Yefei Nof, Misos Kol Haaretz, which of course sparked a Ayin Hara and led to its destruction. So Rav Altuski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, asks, what's the power of the Ayin Hara over here? Why was Yaakov worried about the Ayin Hara of an idol worshipper when it was against his children who are deemed to be tzaddikim? Says Rav Altuski, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the author of the Chidushei Basra, that Ayin Hara in these cases raises the doubt as to whether a tzaddik will deserve a special dispensation when he's in a perilous situation. And this demonstrates how a person's feelings, whether deserved or otherwise, can cause a danger for somebody else. It could be that the tzaddik will have more cheshbonis and will have more opportunity to be saved than the rasha. But once the rasha's feelings are hurt, you've opened up the book. Now we're examining statistically who has the right here. And that's never good for a tzaddik. And thus, the Ayin Hara in this situation has the power to go ahead and cause an examination. And that is reason alone that Yaakov told his children, be careful. So the Torah tells us, Vayirdu Achei Yosef Asara, the brothers of Yosef went down as 10. And Rashi tells us that it doesn't say that they were the sons of Yaakov. They were just referred to as the Achei Yosef because they had agreed to redeem Yosef for all of the money that they had. And they were in agreement that this is what they were going to do if they could find him. So Rav Shteiman Zatzal asks that later in Rashi we learn that the brothers still did not like Yosef. They were split on how to deal with Yosef, but they wanted him back. So Rav Shteiman says that we see how difficult midos are. Even when we come to understand that we were wrong and that we are wrong, we've always been wrong, it's still difficult for us to come to the emotional solution to our conflicts. How are we going to deal with Yosef in the future, even though we agree we were wrong within the process? So, of course, there's a second go-round over here, and Yosef makes the declaration that you have to bring down your brother Binyamin. And when Yosef goes ahead and does so, the opportunity is brought first to Reuven, and Yaakov is scared of him and his offer, and then later to Yehuda, who makes the declaration, Anochi Ervenu Miyadi Tevakshana, I will be the guarantor. And what's the point of a guarantor over here? So the Netziv explains that Yehuda was in essence telling Yaakov that if there's a challenge to the life of Binyamin, because HaSatan Mekatreg B'Shas HaSakana, the Satan is out to collect lives during a Sakana, and even a Misa B'Dei Shamayim challenge, which normally would have left something in the hands of God, could now all of a sudden trigger a potential for death. And so what Yehuda was declaring was, I'll volunteer my life instead. So Rav Shechter asks, what was the argument of Yehuda here? After all, one only goes to the guarantor if the defendant himself can't play. You don't go to the Ari first. You first go to the individual who owes you the money. But here, Binyamin would be able to pay if the Netziv is right. He would pay first with his life. So what's Yehuda's argument? Anochi Aravenim. So Rav Shechter would often identify for us that there are three types of Ari being identified in the Gemara. The first is a regular Arif, who is approached only after the defendant is approached. The second, says Rav Shechter, is what we call an Arif Kablan, who can be approached at the same time as the defendant. Neither of those was relevant to the situation that Yaakov wanted out of Yehuda. It's the third type that's identified by the Gemara at the end of Bava Basra, that of what we call an Arif Shloftatz, who can be approached even before the person he's guaranteeing. That is the one and the type of Arif that Yehuda is here declaring. I will be the Arif Shloftatz. I will come first. By the way, Yehuda's guarantee works as a result. This is also the reason why when the Gemara seeks out a proof to the concept of Arif min HaTorah, we do not use Yehuda as the source, because his guarantee was for a very special, unique Arif situation, not the one that is common in the Torah. Anyway, the brothers meet up with Yosef. Vayishtu vayiskaru imo. They drank and they were merry with him. And why would they have had drinks? They didn't know that Yosef where Yosef was at the time. And until that point, Rashi tells us that they had always abstained from alcohol. So why the change now? So Moshe Feinstein's Hatzal explains that the brothers thought that whatever they went through was part of the kapara process for Hashem, from Hashem for selling Yosef. And thus, even before it was over, they agreed to drink to demonstrate their appreciation to Hashem and their faith in Him that Yeshua was imminent. They saw that things were just too different, too overt, to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was planning for them. And thus they went ahead and they prepared. This Shabbos is Shabbos Hanukkah, and as a result, we will be reading the Haftorah from the book of Zechariah. And one of the things that is declared by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Navi is V'nasati lecha mahalchin bein ha'omdim ha'ila. I'm going to give you opportunities to move between these pillars, between these things that stand still. And Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal explains that there is a natural phenomenon over here. If a human being is not constantly moving forward in life, he or she is not stagnating. He or she is actually moving backwards. And the effect is not just felt in the future. The person feels that if they're not moving forward at present, they are not moving forward in the future. That is not just an effect in the future, it's an effect right now. And the reason is simple. If one's working to the best of his ability at present and achieves the maximum that he or she can achieve in an area of life, so then Hashem extends that person's capacity. And if Hashem extends that person's capacity and extends the person's maximum, then the person becomes obligated to work harder to maintain the same station in his or her physical growth and in spiritual growth. It's sort of like what you see in banking. As soon as you are able to handle your credit, they expand your credit limit. And this is the reason why the Avos were always running. They were always yelchu velo yiyafu. They didn't let themselves to become tired, despite their ages. Because in the eyes of the Avos, there was always further to grow. And Rav Aaron Zatzal adds that this style is particularly important today, where the outside world stresses leisure and easiness, and it makes one susceptible to lowered standards. In Torah life, this does not work. In Torah life, we always have to be growing. In Torah life, we can't let ourselves stagnate to the level of the Misyavein. We have to turn around and make sure we are moving hala hala, the mala mala, in order to inspire ourselves and make sure we are doing the Ratzon Hashem. We have been zocheh to other great things in our lives. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us Lo achadash al tzion tayir, benizke kulanu mehera lioro, lo bechayel, velo bekoach, ki em beruchi, amar Hashem tzivakos, the opportunity for all of us to get to the Shabbat Shalom, the complete and total Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umlucha, lechaye haolamim, Shabbat Shalom, and a freilichin Chanukah to all.